The truth lives.
Political Bombshell, starring Rayshon Blyden.
Welcome to Political Bombshell. Rayshon Blyden here. This will be probably a little bit longer show than usual. I want to talk about, everyone's talking about, everyone and their mother wants a transition. In fact, I'm not even sure if I did it. I'm not going to mention it. But I have to look it up. I have to do a story on this because this goes to show how far our culture, actually I will mention it. A mother and a son, they did the unthinkable. What did they do? Now, the first time when I saw the headline, headlines are leading. The first thing I thought about was, you know, having sex together. That's unthinkable. That's incest. But that's not what it was about. They swapped, meaning the mother became his father and he became the daughter. Very sick stuff. So I may do that. I thought I may have done it on Swell, but I don't think so. I think I may have did a bookmark, but I didn't get to the story yet. But before we start today's show is brought to you by Political Bombshell Store. Go to politicalbombshell.com and click on Political Bombshell Store. And today we are featuring this beautiful t-shirt, one of my best designs. I love it. It just goes to spit in the face of those liars who say, what did they say? Can't breathe or some nonsense? Well, this says here, you can't breathe, you're choking from your lies. And so that's what this t-shirt is. Go ahead and go to politicalbombshell.com, click on Political Bombshell Store and grab your t-shirt. Let us... So there's more than one story. First, I'm going to talk about one individual, and then I will get to the other story. But this is about teens who regret. Well, this first story is about a teen who regret transitioning. So let's start off with this one. It's coming from the New York Post. And it says here, I literally lost organs. Why detransition teens regret changing genders? Again, that's an oxymoron. You can't change genders. It's just not possible for anyone to change genders. You can't change genders. So, anyway, I was failed by the system. I literally lost organs. When Chol, is that how you pronounce that? C-H-L-O-E, Chol. Chol was 12 years old. She decided she was transgender at 13. She came out to her parents. That same year, she was put on puberty blockers and prescribed testosterone. At 15, she underwent a double metacostomy. I'm guessing that's to remove her breasts. I don't know. That's what I'm guessing. I don't know what that is, but I'm assuming. Less than a year later, she realized she'd made a mistake. All by the time she was 16 years old. So, this is the thing. When you are a child, your mind can be changed at the drop of a hat, as they put it. You can think that you are into this thing and you're going to be like that forever, and then a year or two later you don't even remember it. And that's why you can't rely on children saying, I feel like a man, I feel like a woman, and you have them dissect themselves, mutilate themselves, and then a few years later, they have instant regret. And that's what's happened to this child here. That's what happened to this child. At 16 years old, she realized she had made a mistake. Now 17, Chol is one of a growing cohort called detransitioners, those who seek to reverse a gender transition. That's another thing. Without getting graphic, if you remove your breasts as a woman and you want to retransition, there's no way you can put your breasts back there. And dare I say, with a man, it's also not possible if you remove your penis and testicles that you're going to be able to grow another one or put it back. It's just not going to happen. It can't happen. So anyway, detransitioners, those who seek to reverse their gender transition, often after realizing they actually do identify with their biological sex. Tragically, many will struggle for the rest of their lives with the irreversible medical consequences of a decision they made as minors. And it's true. Imagine I'm a man here, and let's stick with minors. I'm a minor. I'm a boy, and I decide I'm a girl. Remove my penis, right? You remove it. And then several years later, I don't feel like a woman. It was a passing phase. I don't want to do this anymore.
How are you going to go through life? Who's going to marry you then? Who's going to marry you? Who's going to date you? How, once you're married, are you going to be able to have sexual intercourse with this woman? It's not possible. So you're going to end up being depressed and lonely, and dare I say, you may want to do the unthinkable. So parents, if your child think that they're the opposite sex, you really need to take them to a psychiatrist or to a counselor to work through it, because they're going to regret it. As I'm standing sitting here, most of them are going to regret it. You could put out a front, but you're going to regret it. You can pretend on camera,
"Hello, Frisco, I'm feeling good and happy. I'm queer and I'm here, no trans, I'm here."
But in the inside, you're not feeling any better about yourself. It's a lie. Social media is a lie. It really is. You put on the best you because you know that you're being watched. Everyone is judging you. And so therefore, you're going to put on a front. But then when the camera goes off, click, click, then you show your true colors. "Nonetheless, I can't stay quiet," said Chol. "I need to do something about this and to share my own cautionary tale." And you can see here a picture as Chol as a boy, as a transition, and as a girl over here. In recent years, the number of children experiencing gender dysphoria in the West has skyrocketed. Let's stop right there. I'm going to be quite candid about this. Lots of doctors see this as a ka-ching payday, and it's just about money for them. They don't care about your child's well-being. I hate to be blunt about it. Well, I don't hate to be blunt. I'm going to tell you the truth. They don't care about your child's well-being. They just care about ka-ching, ka-ching, ka-ching. So, yeah. Exact figures are difficult to come by, but between 2009 and 2019, children being referred for transitioning treatment in the United Kingdom increased by, get this, 1,000% among biological males, and 4,400% among biological females. Meanwhile, the number of young people identifying as transgender in the U.S. has almost doubled since 2017. You know what it is? I hate, again, the sick, degenerate things that comes from the U.K. spreads to the U.S. Like, when I was growing up, you didn't have anything like bestiality in the United States, and it originated over the seas, and it came over here. So, allegedly, let me say, but as far as my recollection, that's exactly what happened. Meanwhile, the number of young, like I said, in the U.S. has doubled since 2017, according to a new Centers for Disease Control and Prevention report. Historically, transitioning from male to female was vastly more common, with the cohort typically experiencing persistent gender dysphoria from a very young age. Recently, however, the status quo has reversed and female to male transitions have become the overwhelming majority. Well, that surprises me. I did not know that. I did not know that at all. But then again, I'm not in the tumbleweaves of that community, so I wouldn't know. Dr. Lisa Littman, a former professor of behavioral and social science at Brown University, coined the term rapid onset gender dysphoria to describe the subset of transgender youth, typically biological females, who become suddenly dysphoric during or shortly after puberty. Littman believes this may be due to adolescent girls susceptible to peer influence on social media. That's why social media is a bad thing. Here you can see a picture of, is this the same person? I can't stay quiet. Oh, this is someone else, Cole. I can't stay quiet, said Cole. And you can see as a boy and as a girl. I can't stay quiet, Cole, as a boy and today as a girl. I need to do something about this and to share my own cautionary tale. Unbelievable. I mean, you can see as a boy, he looked like he was gay over here. But, I mean, why not live your... I am not saying living your life as a gay man is good or bad. That's your lifestyle and choice is not up to me. I'm not a judge. I could tell you what things say in the Bible, but it's not my choice. But just live as a man. Don't do this to yourself. And now you have regret. Helena Kershner, a 23-year-old detransitioner from Cincinnati, Ohio, who was born as a biological female, first felt gender dysphoric at age 14. She says Tumblr sites filled with transgender activist content spurred her transition. Interesting. I'm going to have to put more of my content on Tumblr. I was going through a period where I was just really isolated at school, so I turned to the internet. She recalled in her real life, Kershner had a fallen out with friends at school. Online, however, she found a community that welcomed her. That's the problem with online. That's the problem with online for people who, let's say, just don't have a high self-esteem. They are depressed. They feel isolated. They find these fringe
they find these fringe place groups that takes them in, and they feel wanted. But my dysphoria was definitely triggered by the online community. I never thought about my gender or had a problem with being a girl before going on Tumblr. Wow. There was a lot of negativity around being called a cis heterosexual white girl, and I took those messages really, really personally. She said she felt political pressure to transition too. The community was very social justice-y. There was a lot of negativity around being a cis heterosexual white girl, and I took the personal message personally. Chol, who is Cole, a 17-year-old student in California, had a similar experience when she joined Instagram at 11. I started being exposed to a lot of the LGBT content and activism, she said. I saw how trans people online got an overwhelming amount of support, and the amount of praise they were getting really spoke to me, because at the time, I didn't really have a lot of friends of my own. So here's a picture. Boy, and I don't know let's see. Helena now is part of 23-year-old is part of the growing number of detransitioners returning to gender of their births. Let's see. So she said her male transitioned to the left. So she was originally a girl and she transitioned to a boy. Experts worry that many young people seeking to transition are doing so without a proper mental health evaluation. That's the problem there. Like I said, all the stories we read so far was because they were peer pressure, they were depressed, they didn't have friends, so they sought friends out on Tumblr, they felt a community that took them in. So they need help. Among them is Dr. Erica Anderson, a clinical psychologist specializing in gender, sexuality, and identity, a transgender woman herself. Anderson has helped hundreds of young people navigate the transition journey over the past 30 years. Anderson supports the methodical, milestone-filled process lasting anytime, anywhere, from a few months to several years to undergo transition. Today, however, she's worried that some young people are being medicalized without the proper restraint of oversight. It's all about money, I told you. Money, 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 money is what it's about. So, according to an online survey of detransitioners conducted by Dr. Lisa Littman last year, 40% said their gender dysphoria was caused by a mental health condition, and 62% felt professionals did not investigate whether trauma was a factor in their transition decision. That's really bad. My dysphoria collided with my general depression issues, see what I mean? And body image issues, Helena recalled. I just came to the conclusion that I was born in the wrong body and that all my problems in life would be solved if I transitioned. Did they change? Chol had a similar experience. Because my body didn't match beauty ideals, I started to wonder if there was something wrong with me. I was born this way. I thought I wasn't pretty enough to be a girl, so I'd be better off as a boy. Deep inside, I wanted to be pretty all along, but that's something I kept suppressed. She agrees with Dr. Anderson that more psychological evaluation is needed to determine whether underlying mental health issues might be influencing their desire to transition. More attention needs to be paid to the psychotherapy, Chole said. We're immediately jumping to irreversible medical treatments when we could be focusing on empowering these children not to hate their bodies. Until 2019, Marcus Evans was a clinical director of adult and adolescent services at the Tavistock and Portman NHS Trust, a publicly funded mental health center in the UK, where many youths seek treatment for gender dysphoria. But he resigned 3 years ago over what he viewed as the unnecessary medicalization of dysphoric adolescents. And he says, I saw children being fast-tracked onto medical solutions for psychological problems. And when kids get on the medical convoy belt, they don't get off, Evans said. But the politicization of the issue was shutting down proper clinical rigor. That meant quite vulnerable kids were in danger of being put on a medical path for treatment that may well regret. And many of them regretted. Indeed, transitions are getting younger and hastier. Puberty blockers are commonly administered at the first sign of development to children as young as 9. This is sick. As young as 9. Although medical intervention for minors requires parental consent, many mothers and fathers approve surgery and hormone therapy at the recommendation of affirming medical professionals, or even out of the fear their child might self-harm if denied treatment. It is very hard for parents to know exactly how to evaluate their own kids, and they rely quite heavily on experts to tell them. I'm sorry, but if an expert was telling me that my boy needs to become a girl and my girl needs to become a boy, I would be walking out of that office right there on the spot. Not happening. I'd be like, you're a quack. You're an idiot. Get out of my face. You can see here at 50 on the right, before she decided to detransition. This is bad stuff. We're living in end days for sure. Medical professionals typically follow the affirmative care model, which is supported by the American Psychological Association, validating a patient's expressed gender identity regardless of their age. As a result, detransitioners frequently report that getting prescriptions is a breeze. A total of 55% said their medical evaluations felt inadequate, according to Dr. Lichtman's survey. In Helena's case, all it took to get a testosterone prescription was one trip to Planned Parenthood. Oh, here we go. Planned Parenthood. So they're in the business of baby killing, and now they want to transition over to this. Essentially killing babies killing children in a different way. Because one day they transition, or so I say, mutilating them. Wow. Wow. This is sick stuff. Sick stuff. Chole said she was fast tracked through her entire transition from blockers to a meniscostomy in just 2 years with parents' consent. the only pushback she said she encountered came from the first endocrinologist she saw, who agreed to prescribe her puberty blockers, but not testosterone, when she was 13. But she said she went to another doctor who gave her the prescription with no trouble. Because all the therapists and specialists followed the affirmative care model, there wasn't a lot of gatekeeping throughout the whole transition process, she recalled. The professionals all seemed to push medical transition, so I thought it was the only path for me to be happy. Evans, the author of Gender Dysphoria, a therapeutic model for working with children, adolescents, and young adults, now runs his own private practice with his wife Anne Beckman in Beckman, England. I mean, look at this. This is bad. This is horrible. Horrible stuff. Horrible stuff. So this is, it says, the picture we're looking at, it says, Kirshner at 19 on the left today. So this is what, on the left today. At 23, she first felt gender dysphoric at 14 after Tumblr site filled with transgender. Unbelievable. All these treatments run the risk of side effects that critics argue are too serious for children to fully understand in the short term. Puberty blockers can stunt growth and affect bone density, while the long-term effects are still unknown since they were only approved by the FDA in 1993. The side effects of testosterone include high cholesterol, cardiovascular disease, diabetes, blood clots, and even infertility. Currently, just three states, Arkansas, Arizona, and Texas, have policies limiting gender-affirming treatments for minors, including surgery, hormones, and speech therapy. For those who ultimately end up regretting their transition, the consequences of hormone therapy and surgery can be devastating. For Helena, testosterone caused emotional instability that culminated with two hospitalizations for self-harm. That's what I mean. That's what ends up happening, unfortunately, to most of them. While in the hospital, she came to the realization that her transition was a mistake. I saw a montage of photos of me, and when I saw how much my face changed and how unhappy I looked, I realized this was all blanked up and I shouldn't have done it. It was a really dark time. Chol said testosterone altered her bone structure, permanently sharpening her jawline and broadening her shoulders. She said she also struggles with increased body and facial hair. She has a large scar across her chest from the, so I am right, that's chopping your breast off, the mastectomy, whatever you call it, this which disturbed her about surgery. The recovery was a very graphic process, and it was definitely something I wasn't prepared for, she said. I couldn't even bear to look at myself sometimes. It would make me nauseous. And Cole said her double mastectomy was a very graphic process. And you could, this is her hair. Graphest of all concerns is her fertility. Although she'd like to have children one day, Chol doesn't know whether
the viability of her eggs was compromised by years of testosterone injections. She's working with doctors to find out, and her medical future is uncertain. I'm still in the dark about the overall picture of my health right now, she said. See, the thing about a woman transitioning to a man and detransitioning versus a man who try to transition to a woman and try to detransition, for a woman, she can still be married and have sexual intercourse normal, still up in the air. I don't know if they can have children. They didn't really go into that here. But they may or may not still be able to raise a family, although they will not have the breasts, and obviously they won't be able to breastfeed because of what they did to themselves. A man, on the other hand, who would detransition back to a man, he cannot have children of his own, and he cannot have sexual intercourse at all. It's which will probably drive him insane, I could imagine. So anyway, that's just insane. The subject of detransitioning is often met with vitriol from the transgender activist community, which claims that stories like Joel's and Helena's will be used to discredit the trans movement as a whole. This is understandable, although unlikely, as research reveals that up to 86% of trans adults feel that transitioning was the right long-term decision for them. But as more and more children are entrusted to make serious medical decisions with permanent implications, the numbers of de-affected detransitioners is almost certain to grow. That's why Dr. Anderson feels compelled to speak out on the behalf as the transgender woman herself. Some of my colleagues are worried that conversation about detransitioners is going to be more canon fodder in the culture wars. But my concerns is that if we don't address these problems, there will be even more ammunition to criticize the appropriate work that I and other colleagues are doing. And like Anderson, these young people who will forever live with the consequences of hasty transition refuse to be silenced. I want my voice to be heard, said Joel. I don't want history to repeat itself. I can't let this happen to other kids. So, that's a very powerful story. A very powerful story. And in case you think it's just them, I have one more. Let's find it here. Where is it? Give me a second here. I have to. Okay, I got that one. I got that one. I got that one. What did I do with it? Did I close it out by accident? I don't think I did. Wait, this might be it. Let's see. And nope, that's not it. Give me a second. I will not give up. Here we go. Yeah, I found it. Another story. Just got to queue it up. 30 transgender regretters come out of the closet. Let's queue that up. Queue it up. While I'm queuing it up, go ahead and go to politicalbombshow.com. Click on Political Bombshow Store and grab you t-shirt that I can't breathe. I can't breathe because I'm choking from my loss. I can't breathe. Okay, let's get serious now. 30
30 transgender regretters come out of the closet. Walter Hare knows firsthand what it's like to undergo sex change surgery and then regret it. After living as a woman for nearly a decade, he decided to accept his biological sex and detransition back to male. By then, Walt had received intensive cognitive therapy that helped him recognize early childhood trauma he had experienced. The trauma resulted in a mental condition known as, dissociative identity disorder, DID. Okay, I never heard of these things here, but anyway. In the clarity of that realization, his gender dysphoria simply vanished. His life as a woman all amounted to an attempt to escape reality. Sadly, too few people consider the possibility that gender dysphoria can manifest as a byproduct or symptom of other mental conditions, and most certainly of DID. Walt suffered huge waves of regret as a result of following through with his urge to be a woman. He had eagerly taken the bait of politicized medical practitioners, and some of these practitioners, by the way, they're not just practitioners, but some of them are activists, and that's the problem. You can't have activists, you know, working. You can't have an activist person who's given transition to men and women, boy and girl, even worse. So because they're already biased. They, no matter what the child comes in for, the child is going to be told, you know what, you want to be a woman, you want to be a girl, we should transition you. Here, pop these, chop this. That's what's going on here. They're fast-tracking it. Nonetheless, he had eagerly taken the bait, and he not only regretted what he had done to his body, he also grieved over the estrangement from his wife and children caused by his drastic change in identity. There was a collateral damage to other personal relationships as well. He also regretted the lost decade of his life in which he lived in the persona of a woman. So he has a book. His book is called Shines Light on Trans Life Survivors or Trans Life Survivors. Hale has written several books, or more than one book, several books on transgender regret, but his sixth one is the newest one, Trans Life Survivors, is not his personal story. It's a compilation of the stories of many others caught up in today's transmania. They specifically sought out Walt to get some much-needed support. They've shared their lonely, surreal experiences, falling down the trans rabbit hole, hoping to escape as he did. Walt's correspondents describe a wide range of frustrating and confusing experiences. Some are nudged into transgenderism by social pressures and emotional manipulations. Many are hastily sent into surgery without adequate counseling or any counseling at all, or are misguided or misdiagnosed. Some of those regret their decision very shortly after having irreversible surgery. I can imagine. many concerns about childhood traumas are ignored by therapists who are politically motivated to push as many patients as possible into sex change. They're demonic. Look at me. They are demonic. They also fear intense ostracism and vicious backlash from the trans community if they come out as a potential detransitioner. Walt wrote Trans Life Survivors. He says, because he wants others to catch a glimpse of the raw emotions and experiences of people who are harmed by the grand and dangerous experiment of cross-sex hormones and surgical affirming procedures. Let's talk about helping others escape the trans rabbit hole. For many years, Hayer's website was virtually the only place for a trans regretter to get some relief from the social and political pressures crashing down. Many of his readers express a joyful sense of liberation in knowing that they are not all alone. Much of their isolation is caused by other societies' slavish obedience to political correctness. Well, you don't have that problem with me. I am not politically correct. I've never been that way. I'm not going to change now. Which dictates that there is no such thing as transgender regrets. Even worse, the transgender lobby is making it very difficult for such people to get the counseling they desperately want and need. They've set up roadblocks in the form of new laws that virtually ban standard cognitive therapy for people who diagnose themselves with gender dysphoria, particularly those who are undecided about their path or actually regret it after the fact. Any legitimate form of talk therapy that allows for real Q&A that doesn't necessarily result in affirmation of gender dysphoria has been smeared with the label conversion therapy. Regretters are damned if they do, damned if they don't. They are not unlike recruits in a dangerous cult who sense that something is amiss, but feel trapped in a Hotel California, or even a Jonestown. So, Trans Life Survivors is a godsend for people struggling with trans regret, no matter what stage of transition or detransition they are in. The book highlights 30 stories gleaned from among the many hundreds Hayner has received from his readers. Again, hundreds of detransitioners, but they try to tell you it doesn't exist. Again, 30 stories gleaned from among the many hundreds of his received from readers. So they try to stop anything that's good. They want to continue with this demonic thing. Many more transgender people have contacted Walt over the years. Walt has been trying vigilantly to keep up with the increasing volume of contacts. His readers are grateful to find a place they can get real and rare information about how changing their identity might affect them down the road, or increasingly how they can detransition once they realize how unhappy the process had made them. Again, I couldn't imagine removing my penis and then trying to detransition. I couldn't live a normal life. Who would marry me? I mean, okay, I transitioned back to a man, and I fall in love with a woman. The woman falls in love with me, and she wants to get married. Most women who get married are looking to form a family. I mean, yes, I can hear some of you saying, well, you guys can adopt, but there's no feeling like having your own child when you're married. Adopting is nice too, but there is a difference between adopting and having your own seed. It just is. And you're probably just going to end up being alone and sad and lonely and depressed. And you're going to have to, if you're in that stage of your life, you're going to have to really repent of your sins and give yourself to Jesus. And that's the only way you'll get some peace in life. His readers, okay, I read that already. Now let's go back to, let's start with this one here. Just imagine how regretting a sex change would feel. I don't want to imagine it, but let's see. Can you imagine what it must be like to tell a therapist of your experience being abused as a child, which you offer as a possible explanation for your dysphoria, only to have the therapist, the psychiatrist, totally ignore that aspect of your past and instead push you to sex change procedures as the only way to overcome your angst? That's crazy. So I go to a therapist and say, listen, therapist, I'm confused as a man because when I was growing up, I was sexually abused as a teenager from family member, and it's happened for years. It confused me, and so I feel like a woman on the inside, so I want to become a woman on the outside. Please help me. That's how it comes across, essentially. Imagine that you then defer to and trust the professional's expertise, and you accept the treatment. Then can you imagine, after going through all of that, the hormones, the mutilation, surgeries, etc., you realize it just didn't work. And that's what's going to happen. Because again, it's not like you're getting a brain transplant where you get a whole new brain and all the things that you went through in your life has been erased and you start fresh. If you could have a brain transplant where you could erase your mind and start fresh, well, okay, that would be something different if you're trying to get away from trauma, which I'm not even sure that's even possible. If it was, I don't know if I'd be more for that than for this. But anyway, you end up asking yourself, what did I do? Why did I go ahead and with this? Then the trans lobby tells you it's all your fault. You should have known better. And you're not really trans anyway, so shut up. That's Billy's story. But his story has a good ending that inspires regretters who have lost hope. Billy transitioned, fell in love, and ended up marrying a woman with children. This echoes Walt's own life experience after detransitioning. He too fell in love and married an amazing woman. They lived a very joyful, rich, and fulfilling spiritual life together as Christians. Such happy endings and strong relationships might seem unlikely to those who think they've hit rock bottom. But those results are real, and they are a source of much hope to those who yearn to detransition, but who feel abandoned, ostracized, outcast and alone like Kevin, who reported that his sex change was the biggest mistake of his life. Only God knows how many regretters Walt has steered away from suicide and towards renewed life. Hard to find resources. In Trans Life Survivors, you'll also read about Blair, who holds a Guinness World Record for most gender reassignment surgeries. Oh my goodness. 167 surgeries to make him feel more like a woman. Needless to say, it didn't work. It didn't work out. But we can easily suspect, in his case, that the existence of surgical predators who take advantage of vulnerable people. Many others, like Michael, recognize that it's all a sick money-making industry. Ding, 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 a Yahtzee, exactly. Others who have communicated with Walt include parents whose children are being pressured into gender transition by public school officials, social media, and pop culture. The Trans Life Survivors also include chapters on the medical realities of sex change and, well, as the politicization of medicine and psychiatry that locks people into a transgender identity. The book ends with a useful listing of further resources for those who seek to find a way out. Such resources are very hard to come by, so the book is truly a public service. If you are on Rumble or Spotify, or I will leave a link for the book if you need help with that. If you are on Roku, just simply search for Trans Life Survivors and the author's name. What's his name again? His name is... I'm losing my voice. I've been talking for quite some time now. What is his name? Walt Heyer. Look him up. I'm losing my voice here. Losing my voice. All right, so hard to find. So 167 surgeries. That's insane. 167 surgeries to make him feel more like a woman. Needless to say, it didn't work out. But we can easily suspect, in his case, I think I read all this already. Yes, I did. Okay. Others who have communicated with Walt include the parents. I read that too. The book ends. I read that. Okay, let's go to suppressed support for those detransitioning. Well, of course, it's a sick, demonic society with the Antichrist roaming the earth, causing things like this to occur. After the novelty of the transition wears off, and it very often does, the regretter is stuck in a never-never land of keeping up facades. That's what I was talking about. And pretenses. That's what I was talking about. You on social media, so you got to put on the face, "Hello, I'm so good. I feel like Dylan Mulvaney." Many report that the constant charade is emotionally draining and casts a pall over life. But if they express a desire to change back, their friends in the trans community often become angry and reject and isolate them. Walt cites numerous studies confirming that most cases of gender dysphoria coexist with other mentally conditions. Being shunned by one's own community is painful. Eric wrote, "I'm trying to come out as a regretter, and I'm finding the community backlash to be difficult and the lack of medical support to be troubling. Walt knows that feeling very well. The transgender lobby has come out hard against him when he has spoken publicly about his personal experiences, in addition to smearing him with various epithets such as religious nut or transphobic. The lobby has worked hard to deplatform him. And it's very true. That's exactly what they do, like what they did to Matt Waltz on YouTube. Media Matters went into panic mode and ran a smear article when Walt gave a persuasive interview to CNN's Carol Costello after Olympian Bruce Jenner's 2015 transition. Walt's instincts tell him that Jenner regrets his decision, but is hopelessly stuck in the cultist trap of the limelight. I believe he's right about that. Eric reported an unsettling lack of medical support. Walt cites numerous studies confirming that most cases of gender dysphoria coexist with other medical conditions such as DID, bipolar disorder, depression, and obsessive compulsive disorders. If those other conditions were first treated through cognitive therapy, there's no telling how much that would alleviate gender dysphoria without any need for invasive surgeries and hormone treatments. But they don't want that. They don't want that. But this seems to be a well-guarded secret by political and media activists. And there's quite a bit more in this article here. I am going to leave a link to this in the description for this, but he talks about free speech is more important than ever. Just read the first paragraph of that. The pressure can be even worse when dealing with the government agencies that supposedly respect the right to choosing one's sex. Walt spent about 30 years making 8 to 10 attempts before he finally got a judge in California to reinstate the word male on his birth certificate. Despite all that, the transgender lobby insists Walt was never really transgender in the first place. Yet, strangely, they accept his diagnosis of dissociative identity disorder. Would they allow people with gender dysphoria to seek out therapies that actually explore its psychological resources? So you got that. Then the next one we have, detransitioners are simply on a journey home. When one speaks of going home in the poetic sense, it has nothing to do with abuses or dysfunction that one might have experienced, leading to gender dysphoria. Being home simply means having a sense of being in the right place, living out your God-given purpose in your God-given body. It means being comfortable in your own skin so you can enjoy the view outward instead of constant nasal gazing. When you didn't have that joy, or if you've lost it along the way, a different sort of dysphoria sets in. It can go by the name homesickness. And then we have the joy outweighs the sorrow. As scary as detransitioning might seem, once the possibility of it is validated by someone like Heyer, who's been there and done that, there is a great joy in it. No matter the physical disfigurement, that's the problem of the year, is wasted. So there you go. I will put a link to the article and to the book. If you are in this position and you are inclined to get the resources you need, well, then you can get it here. And it's a sad, sad state of affair. It really is. It really is a sad state of affair. That will do it for today's show. Don't forget to stop on by politicalbombshow.com. Click on Political Bomb Show store and grab a t-shirt. Or just click on Support Us while you're there. And help us to continue bringing these important stories that the media wants to suppress from you. Till next time, peace. Political corruption, business of nations, a new sheriff coming into town. No politician is allowed. There Political bomb, so come on people, let's go.